Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. I'm joined again today by Ed Molitor. Ed is a former NCAA basketball coach turned corporate executive and owner of the Molitor Group. Today, he joins me to discuss how you can unleash your team's success. Having sat down with Ed before, I know this session would be an incredible win and discovery for myself as well as for you. And in this episode, Ed helps us close the performance gap through creativity and teamwork. Discuss creativity within constraints, the power of embracing your role for collective success, and the importance of trusting the process. It's all about seeing new solution vantage points and embracing your role, whatever that may be, as well as communicating to the process and aiming objectives, whether they're challenging situations or simple wins. This is another amazing episode packed with tactical leadership lessons. And if you're loving what Ed is discussing, I recommend you reach out to him personally on LinkedIn, or you can send him an email. I actually put that in the show notes. He may be a great option for one-on-one coaching or as a consultant for your team or organization. Now to my talk with Ed. So let's lean in and learn from the best. Let's talk about the next three: creativity, team, and objectives. Like, how does that fold into this victory formula?
I love the creativity piece because what I deal with a lot with our corporate clients, when I'm doing workshops with our coaching clients, and even my friends that are still in the business, when I say business, I mean the coaching world, right? Is the ability to reframe novel solutions, the ability to look at things differently. Because when we're in the middle of the moment and we've got this, I don't even want to call it blinders on, but we have this focus. We have a tendency to see things just as we think they are. But if we can step back and be curious about, well, if I look at it from this vantage point, what if? Okay, if someone says something to you and you execute the yes and, okay, And you try to collaborate. But the ability to reframe novel solutions, an ability to really reframe your circumstances and your situations. And we all have a choice. Like, you and I both have a choice how we're going to look at adversity. Mm-hmm. And you said something on my podcast that I wrote down, that I look at, that I've used with so many people since then. It wasn't that long ago. It's not about reducing stress. Like, we spend so much time focused on reducing stress. Well, first of all, the only way you grow is through discomfort and disorder. Mm-hmm. So how do we make order out of the chaos inside of stressful situations? Okay. We have to increase our capacity to manage that stress, mm-hmm. okay, and to grow through those stressful situations and to navigate it. See, and that's what resilient leaders do. Like, people think creativity, they think like creative ads, they think of marketing people, they think of that. And I love that. God, do I envy them? I wish I could. man, trust me, like my friends, like the folks that I work with, right, from Fog Pilot and my good friend Tim Hogan. I mean, when I talk to them, it's like, okay, I mean. I want to be just like you and how you can think about things and see things and do things. But to the best of our ability, we have the opportunity to lean into our creativity. And everyone talks about, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to solve this problem. See, problems, everything we call a problem is not a problem, because I firmly believe that problems are something that we don't know how to solve. Mm. Okay? And what a problem really is, it's a creative opportunity. It's a creative opportunity for ourselves. It's also a creative opportunity for our team to collaborate and idea flow and share ideas. And the creativity piece is like, okay, so we have the values, we have the intangibles. Now we're really in. I mean, is there like, okay, this may make me odd in some people's eyes, but I love challenging situations. I love if you're trying to make a sale and people think there's no way that it's going to happen. But deep down inside, your gut tells you there's something I'm missing. Like, I'm not going at this the right way. So what if we look at it from this vantage point? Or what if we tweak this? And what if we do that? Or what if we just completely remove this piece of it? And I really think that comes from all my years of being in a locker room and watching film and trying to figure out how to be people.
Like, yeah, I'm thinking of you on the side of the court. Guys come to the sideline and you got that clipboard and it's like, we're going to draw it up like this. We've got, here's this situational basketball, right? Like,
that's when it, that's like anybody can call a play, but is in the weird, bizarre scenario where the ball's here and you got this time constraint and you got this, that's when the best coaches and teams thrive, is they come up with a solution. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a muscle I wish more of us would try to flex and really dig into instead of being like, well, game over. Right. No, not game over. How do I lean into that? And you've done that your entire career, and it's something you get comfortable with. You're not losing your mind. You're able to be fluid. Sorry. I can see this.
I'm taking notes because you just triggered something, but this is the thing, right? Those were some of my favorite moments in coaching. And even with, you know, Maddie's fifth grade basketball team. I mean, we have two gentlemen that I'm fortunate enough to, they allow me to coach with them. Like, we have so much fun with it, right? And EJ's third grade team. And it's just like, but those are my, and to be able to keep your mind, to keep your calm in the midst of the chaos and know not only what was going to work, but know who to call on to make it work. And I'm not just talking about who to score. I'm talking about who do you know that like kind of gets really excited about setting the blistering screen. Okay. Who do you trust to take the ball out and not panic? Right. And those aren't things you figure out in that moment. Those are things that are figured out throughout the process. And those are things because you're an intentional leader and you pay attention to what's going on in every situation. And all of that stuff adds to your ability to be creative inside a constrained space and time. And that's why I think the creativity piece is so, it's so fun. It's so key to your victory because nothing, there is no straight line. You and I know there is no such thing as straight line to success. And you better be ready to adapt, adjust, and overcome, and not to steal a line from Clint Eastwood in the movie Heartbreak Ridge, but I just stole it. So there, you got it. Okay. And, but man, that creativity piece and that really, like, winning's hard. Leading is hard. Working, doing things the right way is hard. And the creativity pillar adds a lot of fun to it.
So what about this team piece? How does creativity wrap into team?
You're a part of something bigger than yourself, right? And do you embrace your role? And not only embrace your role, that doesn't mean accept it. Like everyone says, oh, you better accept your role. No, don't accept it. Like if this is what the team needs me to do right now, this is what I'm going to do. Yes, I'm going to continue to work for that next step, for that next level, for the next position, right? But man, this is what they need me to do. So not only am I going to embrace it, I'm going to be the MVP of my role. And I know for my teammate to be at his best, I need to be at my best. And for me to be at my best, they need to be at their best. How can I help them be at their best?
And that role could be different for everybody. It doesn't mean you have to be satisfied with the position you're at right now. Like, wanting to climb the ladder, there's nothing wrong with that. Right. Like wanting to move up. You want to be the head coach. You want to be the, you know, the CEO. You want to be head of your department. But if you're not embracing the seat that you're in right now and crushing it for your team, you may get there. You're probably going to fail along the way miserably. And we see this very often. I think as a young coach, I sometimes got a little too overzealous, right? In the sense that like, I should be doing that. And you're like, well, you don't realize that there's a lot of skills that you need to acquire along the way to not just get there, but to get there and do it well. And I think that's where it's really good to have people that are, you're letting have access and agency in your life to kind of point some stuff out, maybe like a mentor to say, hey buddy, you know.
And you have to be coachable. You have to be willing to listen. And willing to act on that.
So do you think it's important within a team or an organization to help people map out the future so that they can embrace that role a little better?
One of the things that I've seen and one of the most enriching pieces to great leaders is when they take the time to invest in your future and they're curious about your future and not just on the court, but away from the court, not just in the business, but away from the business too. And they ask you, what is it? What is it? What are your goals? What are your dreams? Okay. What's your vision for get? How are you going to get there? And how can I help you? And if it's important to you, it's very important to me. I'm going to help you stay on task with that. It's not something you're going to talk about every single day, but we're going to have this conversation. And when leaders take time to talk to their people, their team members about their personal and professional goals, It increases retention. Okay. And by the way, we spend so much time like, oh, retention, talent, and people fight over the words because we live in this black and white world. Bottom line is you want to go get the best people and you want to keep the best people and you want to grow the best people and develop the best people. And oh, by the way, those people are going to be your best recruiters. So yes. The way to do that is invest in every team member and get to know them and what it is they want and what their goals are. But, you know, also the team, I don't want to forget this, like it's about trust. It's about the ability to be brutally honest with each other in a respectful way. It's about doing it for each other, not just with each other. You know, you're in the foxhole together. No, you know what? I'm going to take this hit for you, not just with you. And I think that's something that's very, very significant. And when you get the team, because at that moment, when someone is the MVP of their role, okay, and their role might be, they might be the glue guy or the glue gal on their team, and they can identify a teammate who is a big producer, a big performer, and they're struggling, okay, they go get that person is what I call it, right? They go get them, they get a touch, and they have a conversation. They pick them up, they encourage them, or they knock them upside the head and, like, bring them back to reality, right? And I just think that's what great teams do, and great teams are there for each other, and there's nothing more fun for me when you see a key team come together and they start to accomplish things that nobody ever thought they were going to accomplish. And I love when people say, oh my God, they became an overnight success. No, no, they struggled. Yeah. There were days they didn't like each other. There was days they didn't know where they fit in the puzzle. But you know what they did? They increased their capacity to manage the stress, right? You know what they did? They kept going. So the team is such a powerful piece. And how do you make that happen as a leader? And how do you, as a performer, how do you fit in? You know, where do you find your place and embrace that role?
I haven't heard the term glue guy in a while.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
That's a good one. For those of you that haven't been in the inner workings of sports, you know, sometimes on rosters, you're like, coach, this is like you're recruiting somebody, like maybe they're not the top tier top, but they're a glue guy.
Right.
Meaning like they're somebody that's got a role that can bring people together. And on every great team, there are people like that. That if you dig, it's not the all-star. They'll all start pointing to this person. And you're like, I didn't know who that person was. And you're like, yeah, they're the one that's really keeping things together. They're the ones that can manage the group. They're the ones that are, like you said, in the good times, you know, the rough times are cheering somebody on, or when somebody's being a bonehead, they go, I'm like, hey, let's course correct on this. How does this tie to our objectives as an organization?
So the objectives are your vision, your mission, and your process, right? Mm. Your goals. And if you go all the way back to the start, right, the values, the intangibles, the creativity to the team. Okay, so now on a day-to-day basis, like how do we have this shared vision? I call it a singleness of purpose. Like, what is our singleness of purpose that we have every single day? And do we talk about it? Is that a conversation that we have? Or are we living in an, have we created this environment where we're afraid to talk about it? Like, we don't want to put ourselves out there. Mm. But your objectives have to be a shared vision. It has to be something that's a conversation inside of your shared language. And every single day when you sit there and say, okay, here's my objectives for today. Here's what our process is. Here's the projects I have. Here's the task I have. And here's the purpose behind it. It helps you sustain a level of effort that probably is hard to match. Mm-hmm. It increases your resiliency. It increases your cohesiveness as a unit. Okay. It adds meaning. It adds meaning to what you're doing. Here's the other thing. It really sheds a light on why you put up with all the crap.
Yes.
With all the
stuff. Talk about it too.
Yeah.
And that's what I keep hearing today. I'm taking a lot of notes. You probably see me over here typing away on my computer. And that's what I do during these podcasts, just like you do. You're listening to me, you're writing stuff down. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to talk about this stuff. And it's got to be more than words on a wall or on a Notion document or something. It has to be something that you consistently talk about and address. Because I'm finding as a new, you know, a leader of an organization, you have to say it a million times. And then you have to get people to engage with that. What does it mean to you? How is this getting played out? And it's got to be repeated over and over and over and over and over. And then it's actually got to be acted upon. But unless we actually have this like shared mission and we're talking about it and we're doing something about it. Like, it's just words. Mm-hmm. And I've been in places where you've seen this before. Where it's like, oh yeah, this are our core values and this is what we do. And you're like, no, you don't.
How are those attached to what you did today? Like, where do those values show up? Where did your singleness of purpose show up? You know, and here's the other thing. Like, we talk about metrics being a byproduct of doing things the right way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's lag measures and lead measures. And your lag measures are your goals, your quarterly goals, your monthly goals, right? Your semi-annual goals, your yearly goals. Because when that expiration date comes, you either did it or you didn't do it. You either won or you lost. I'm in one of those moods today. You caught me on an interesting day, all right? Because
I love it. Bring it.
I went to a bunch of state tournament games this week, and you know, in the newsletter today, I talked about how awful the day after the season ends is, and that feeling. Okay, and we talk, and I'm staying away from cliches today because I firmly believe that you learn through failure. Right? Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. I believe that, but not in the mood today, because failure is hard, losing is hard, but you absolutely have to. You have to learn from it. But when that lag measure, okay, when that lag measure, when there is that expiration date, there is nothing you can do about that then. It's over. It's done. Yes, you can learn from it. Yes, you can pull lessons from it. And yes, you should. But your lead measures, so your weekly objectives, your daily objectives, your process, your projects, your tasks, your one-on-ones with your team members, your team meetings, your phone calls, your connecting, how are those going? And then at the end of the week, you know, if there's something, or even a monthly goal, if all of a sudden there's something that's not adding up, we didn't hit this number, but we have another, what behaviors do we have to correct? What course correction do we have to do? How do we make those changes? Where do I need to show up better? Where do I need to show up less? What do I need to back off of? And I think that's where in the objectives, it's so important, because you can't just go to work every single day and punch the clock in 9 to 5. You have to be very intentional about what you do. However that is, whatever your time management is, whatever your organization is, however, you have to have a process and you have to have and be committed to it. And not just interested in being successful. And I think it's very important inside of the objectives to pay attention to the lead measures.
Gosh, this is so good. You got me fired up, man. Like,
let's go.
You know, I don't want to go back to sports ever, but it's like sometimes you need to talk to people that have been in that world, because the life cycle is so short. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in any other business or any other profession are you judged so frequently.
Right.
And you get used to this rhythm of prepare, execute, evaluate, do it again. And I think sometimes in other professions or in other parts of our lives, we don't have those like moments of, did you win or did you lose? And I think we need to create those for ourselves.
Thanks again for listening to the Blueprint Podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a comment and review on whichever listening platform you are joining us from, as this helps us reach more people with the message of the Blueprint. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.